Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we get to the program, want to let everybody know just a little statement from us regarding our friend Jade, the guy with the vision behind it all. Was involved in an accident a couple weeks ago, has been in the hospital since. His family's not looking for help, doesn't want a lot of attention to it, but we thought we would let you, our listeners, know, and the people who have supported us and supported Jade for so long, just to let you know why he hasn't been on the mailbag, why he hasn't been on a couple of the other podcasts right now. All of our prayers, all of our love are with him and his family, and we're pulling for him. And obviously, that's our guy, right? That's our guy. We love him. We want him to be better.
Yeah, that's our super producer. We love you, Jade. Hope you get back on your feet soon. And we hear those dings. So send your love, your prayers, your thoughts, your vibes, your juju, your dings, all of it. Send it over to Jade and his family. And he would want us to keep going. So on to the pod.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros, of course. I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambre, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother, Nando Vila on the west side. What's popping, brother?
Pretty good, man. Just wrapping up the season for the holidays.
Nice.
Are you going anywhere for the holidays? Are you hanging out?
I'm going to be here, and then for New Year's Eve, I'm actually going to Palm Springs. Got a house out there. Got a couple of people. Nothing crazy. It's literally six of us. It's not going to be a banger or, you know, it's not going to be like, it's not going to be a rock star party where we break everything in the crib. It's going to be a nice, regular, quiet little New Year's Eve. Cause as a, like what my experience here in LA is that nobody really gives a shit about New Year's Eve here.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's not a New York or Miami type of,
I think Vegas. Closes at two. So you can't do like a big party.
At a place.
At a club, yeah.
So somebody has to take the sacrifice.
One of the craziest New Year's that I ever did in Miami.
How do you close a club at 2 a.m. on New Year's Eve? That is insane.
It's by law, dude. They have to. I saw Belle Biv DeVoe perform at
the in Miami. Wow. That's fire.
We went to like fucking 6 in the morning. It was great.
That is incredible, man. Next time I see you, I got to talk to you about my Miami trip. Just an absurd city.
You mean you don't want to do it on the pod? You mean it's not for that stuff?
No. I don't think so. I don't think we can do what we was doing in Miami. And no, that's not suitable for the pod. But just want to get into a couple of things. We're gonna get into some more World Cup coverage. As you guys know, me and Nando. Thoroughly locked in, thoroughly into enjoying what's been happening with the World Cup. Stacey Abrams, she's landing on her feet. She always seems to, like a cat. I want to talk about Stacey Abrams and just 2022 political maneuverings is just so funny in how they operate. But first, man, want to talk about this Yemen resolution that Bernie tried to pass, where it's just like, yo, we're not doing that. We're not aiding the Saudis in their vicious ass war against these poor, innocent people. There's no reason for it. It's obvious. Even Biden at certain points was just like, yeah, maybe we should ease up on the Saudi help, as you know, after Jamal Khashoggi and all of that stuff. But of course, and shouts to my man Ryan Grimm, who I'm a reader of his newsletter. He's like, yeah, the Dems stepped in. They made the White House specifically made Bernie succumb to their will. And, you know, this story is interesting for a couple of reasons, Nando, to me. One, what's hilarious about this is that making war abroad is one of the things that the president can do unilaterally. He don't even...
Not legally,
but it's just what they do now. Like,
they do.
Like, it doesn't matter if Congress or Bernie or progressives or leftists or whoever are just like, no, don't do this. Or they whip up the votes somehow, which they wouldn't. Wouldn't be able to. But, like, it actually wouldn't matter. You know, because the president can basically go out and make war wherever the hell he wants to, right? I think that part sticks out to me in that this is like one of the places that Biden can act unilaterally, and you know that they choose to do this anyway. It makes you sort of wonder why. But then, you know, the other part of it is just how hawkish these cats are, right? Just how deeply enmeshed the sort of war-making apparatus of the country is. And I go back to something, I want to shout out my man Daniel Bessner and American Prestige for pointing out that I thought was just quite astute, is that the military-industrial complex has to always be justifying themselves. Like, they're self-aware enough to understand that we're getting record levels of funding and spending. Like, every year we break the record for how much is being spent towards our industry and our existence. And they're constantly looking for ways to justify that spending and their existence. And it manifests itself in this fake Cold War against China, which, again, like, it's no different than a civil war. We are China. China is us. As American business interests are concerned, I don't see how we could. I can't say this. Like, we can't go to war with China. We can't. We're too intertwined with their economies, and them with us too. It's both ways. It's not like China is not getting a shit ton of economic benefits from their relationship with American business. That's obvious. In the West, just at large. But yeah, this is just when I see shit like this, where it's like Yemen, it's like we can't sit Yemen out, you know, like we have to be involved in this. It's just, I mean, to it's me, I just think Saudis, about that. Exactly.
It's because the Saudis want us, and, you know, the Saudis really have us by the balls because of the oil, right? Like, they could easily just drive up the cost of the price of oil, which has gone down, and gas prices, I don't know if you noticed, laws have gone down. Mm-hmm. And like, no one talks about them anymore. Remember, like, 6 months ago to a year ago, it was like Biden's gas prices, Brandon's gas prices going up, you mm-hmm. know? The Saudis use that threat like explicitly to U.S. presidents. They're like, you know, we're just going to drive up your fucking oil prices if you don't do what we ask in to suppress this quote unquote rebellion in Yemen. Which, by the way, like, the war is causing the largest humanitarian crisis in the world, famine, disease, all kinds of horrible shit that is just unspeakable. And we're fully supporting it. We're actively aiding and abetting in it. It's, you know, it's like. I mean, again, like, it's these hypocrisy arguments, like, only take you so far. But I mean, think about, you know, how many people have stood for the cause of the Ukrainians vis-a-vis the Yemenis, you know, and there's a million reasons for that. You know, Ukraine's in Europe and we feel closer to Europe. Like, mm-hmm. Yemen might as well be on fucking Mars. Like, yeah. No one can point it out on a map. You know, whether they're white, they're whatever, you know, a million reasons, but mostly it's because the action is being taken by an enemy state, which we don't like, which is Russia. But when a state that's an ally does it and we support them, like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? The arguments that the Saudis use to justify their military action in Yemen is the exact same arguments that the Russians use to justify.
What are their arguments? Can you enumerate those
in Yemen
for us? Yeah.
What they say is that there's these like Houthi people, like there's an ethnic rebellion in Yemen. These Houthi rebels, as they call
and
them.
And the Russians are saying like Nazis, neo-Nazis,
Nazis in Ukraine.
Okay,
exactly.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And that they're saying that these Houthis are tied to Iran essentially, and that Iran is like the great enemy of Saudi Arabia, and that they can't be trusted, and blah blah blah. So, Russia says that Ukraine is full of Nazis. And they need to protect, you know, they need to suppress the, I mean, like, that's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing, mm-hmm. you know, just substitute a couple words like Mad Libs and you're right there. It's the exact same thing, you know, but again, you'll see people with the Ukrainian flag in their fucking Twitter bios and shit. And we're sending billions of dollars to fight the thing. And, you know, when the exact inverse is true, we just completely take off our moral calculus, you know? It's as simple as that, really. Like, you can't really, you know, twist it any other way. It's interesting that Bernie's been trying to stop this war for a while, through congressional action. The White House is fucking slapping his wrist, constantly. The press secretary, for the White House, I forgot her name, the new one, you know,
bro, they changed them things out. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the black Haitian chick, is she still there? Is it still the?
I think she's the same. It's still her.
Okay.
Still your Haitian sister. hey, shout out to the Haitians in America. Dude.
Hey,
great.
Listen, hold on, man. What's that woman's name? Let me look this up for you. Just a quick sidebar, y'all. We just had the first black president in the history of Harvard. A Haitian American woman named Claudine Gay. She married outside the community, last name Gay.
That's right.
But yes, go on.
The press secretary is called Karine Jean-Pierre. Very
Yes, that's it. That is. Woo, Lord have mercy. That is as Haitian.
That is
as
like John Smith in Haiti. Yeah. But
yes. Dr. Gay, distinguished scholar of democracy and political participation. She's the new president, the first black president of Harvard University.
Your Haitian sisters are crushing it, dude.
Right, crushing it. Yes, black girl magic, Haitian edition. Yes, queen. I texted my man Pascal Robert, who, you know, great Haitian himself, one of the people that exposes this DEI farce. He's just like, we'll destroy your country of origin, but look, we'll lift up one of your people to this very public and prominent position. It's great, isn't it? What a great trade-off. The destruction of an entire country and tens of millions of people, and, you know, one lady gets a nice job at Harvard.
We'll force you to pay reparations to the French for enslaving you then invade your country and occupy it for 2 decades.
It's fantastic.
You know, install dictators and
our former president to use it as a piggy bank. It's great. It's amazing. Yeah. But, you know, shouts to Claudine Gay, first black president at Harvard, Haitian American. Salute. But yes, continue, Nando.
But you know, it was unclear whether, like, even if the resolution passed, whether Biden would have vetoed it or not. I think it's probably likely that he would have.
Of course.
And just the sad state of affairs. I mean, Bessner talks about it a lot, how, in theory, in the Constitution, Congress can only declare war. The president cannot declare war. You know, the Congress has to declare war, and that hasn't actually happened since, like, I think World War II.
Yeah, it's got to be. Basically, once the Cold War started, these folks is just let the president do whatever the hell he wants. That's it.
Yeah. And then even post War on Terror, like post 9/11, they used this thing called the AUMF, the Authorization of Use of Military Force, or something like that, which, like, the Congress granted just to, like, respond to 9/11. They just used that for everything. You know, it's like, what? 9/11 happened, dude. We got to go fucking kill people in Niger. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
You know, man, 9/11, people don't remember 9/11, do they?
They They don't remember the insanity and hysteria, but man, like, you know, it's definitely been an inflection point, and it's all related. Like all of this shit in Yemen, like you bet your ass, some of the justifications are quote unquote thwarting terrorism, like anti-terrorism, yeah. Like 100% part of that justification, how they sell this thing to the American public is like, oh, there's these terrorists in this country called Yemen in the Middle East, and it's crap, obviously.
Yeah. It's funny. There's a funny anecdote, you know, because the real kind of driver of this war from the Saudi side is this guy, the MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, which he started it back when he was the defense minister before he became kind of the crown prince or whatever.
Yeah, but they've been doing this Saudi thing since the Obama administration. I want to say maybe since
2015, baby.
Yeah, since the and one of the hugest blights on Obama's presidency is all the nasty, you know, drone shit they did in Yemen. Like, whoo, it's in the top two, and it might not be two as far as atrocities and just fuck ups during his administration. That one he's gonna have to wear a black eye. He's gonna have to wear forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, apparently when the war started, defense minister at the time, Mohammed bin Salman, met with the John Brennan, who at the time was a CIA director, and Mohammed bin Salman told him that he was confident the Saudis were going to finish off the Houthis in a couple of months. And Brennan says, I looked at him with a rather blank stare and wondered to myself what he had been smoking. Because the Saudis, notoriously terrible military, they don't have any soldiers, because if they had to draft actual Saudis to fight in any war, they would lose total legitimacy and the regime would crumble because no one actually likes them. They just kind of tolerate them. But if they ask them to fight, they're like, no, I'm not going to fight for you. What the fuck?
Like, this so they is have crazy. To like,
but they do have money, so they hire these mercenaries from like especially Colombia, but other countries. So really the Yemen war is being paid for by the Saudis, fought by Colombians with air support from the United States. Like, that's basically the dynamic. So yeah, just a grim, just seeing Biden, the administration, yeah, Bernie's doing his best to fucking try to stop this. Like he's trying to find a way to do it where at least he can get some Republicans on board to sign off on it, and at least in a way that the White House doesn't veto it, which what he has to do is find language that is narrow enough that it doesn't kind of also implicate the U.S. support.
Yeah, because the effort in Ukraine is untouchable. We're doing that, period, no matter what. We're going to make war. We're going to spend trillions of tax dollars. Well, not literally trillions, but you get what I mean, on, you know, defense spending, and we're going to make sure the defense industry gets fat off of that war. So, yeah, don't even think about getting in the way of that, Bernie.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I don't know. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, just the sort of status quo over there. We did want to hit on that. You passed along a great note detailing Stacey Abrams just got a new gig with Discovery Plus. She's doing a reality show with Selena Gomez, fresh off of getting her ass thoroughly kicked up and down the state of Georgia, by Governor Kemp. She falls right into the money pit. She will fall on a bed of money with reality TV shows. Like, bruh, the way this woman has leveraged zero,
she's the master,
electoral wins to, you know, progressive celebrity stature and just all around, like, yeah, I'm the shit. What's great about what you passed me, Nando, she took credit for Warnock's win. it's incredible.
If I was Warnock, I would be like, what? You know, like, I'd be so angry. She just got, like, she didn't just lose. She got crushed.
Yeah,
she lost by like 7 points in a polarized, electorate where the Democrats are winning in the Senate. Like, Ossoff and Warnock are the are the senators from fucking Georgia are fucking Democrats. You know, in a governor race, she lost by 7 points.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You know, you got crushed. Like, get out of here. You fucking contributed to Warnock's win. If anything, you were a drain on Warnock. Maybe you would have won in the first round against Herschel Walker.
If you weren't on the ballot.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, she's become this sort of liberal hero, and she is so good at self-promotion. It's incredible. And now, yeah, she gets a dope check from Discovery Plus, who is trying their darnest to gut my favorite streaming platform, which is HBO Max. But that's a story for another day. I know that's big in your business, Nando. I know you're watching that with a keen eye. What those damn suits is doing to the best streaming platform ever, by the way, as far as making content is concerned, is crazy. But yeah, it just reminds me of just like liberal grift, right? And look, I don't know Obama's kid. I'm sure she's probably at least kind of talented. But when I heard she got a job on Donald Glover's writing staff, I was just like, Jesus Christ. And they call this shit the meritocracy, Nando. Like, this is what they call it, the meritocracy. Like could anybody reasonably assume or believe that this young woman wouldn't have a job with Donald Glover on his prestigious TV show if she wasn't this guy's son? And it's just the cycle of entertainment to Democratic politics. It's just nasty to me.
Yeah, I mean, the other interesting thing about this is that all politicians now just want to do Netflix deals. Like, that's all they want to do. They want to do content. Like, there's no more politics to be done. Like, since when did politicians and former presidents become producers? Like, Obama and Michelle, now what their job is to be producers. Like, they're not even – Hollywood. That's, like, what they're doing. They're making movies and they're making fucking TV shows and documentaries, and they just got nominated for 2 Emmys for like some fucking children's animated show that they did, you know. Hillary and Chelsea Clinton are producers now. Like, they're, you know, they had an Apple show where they interviewed like other women and shit. They, you know, that's what politics is. And Stacey Abrams, dude, you got to hand it to her. She is an expert at playing the game, man. She is playing the game better than anyone. She claimed credit for single-handedly turning Georgia purple. Like, she just completely rode
that was way. Me. I did that. Stacey Abrams, me.
Even though she's never won anything, you know? Like, how is she better – like, how is she more responsible for that than the literal senators who
– Right, the actual races, campaign, you know, apparatuses that got Ostroff and Warnock elected. She's not more responsible than them. If that's the case, she would have got herself elected, which she didn't. Again, she got creamed.
How many MSNBC wine moms would recognize Stacey Abrams over Raphael Warnock?
Man, I would say most of them. I would say probably 55%, no doubt.
I would say even more. Like, the Stacey Abrams is way more famous than Warnock, you know, on a national level. And it's just, it's interesting.
But Stacey Abrams is doing The View. She's doing The View. She's doing MSNBC. She's like all over the place. She's a celebrity, bro.
Yeah, but while not never winning anything, it's just purely like she understood kind of a certain liberal desire to uplift like a black woman, you know, in politics, a certain kind of black woman, you know what I mean, a polished, the certain kind, like a safe black woman, if that makes sense,
of course,
a problematic one, you know, who, yeah. And just has like ridden that wave for years. It's amazing. And now she's doing this thing where she's claiming credit for Warnock's race, distancing herself from her own failures, and then cutting deals with Discovery to produce a Selena Gomez docuseries about music. Like, what? Like, what? That is just like the fucking expert level.
She's the best, man. And again, it's like, whatever. I'm sure she's a nice person, but like, it's important that we recognize these figures for who they are. Like, when they thrust these people in the spotlight and they tell us that they're these great, you know, champion of people, you know, it's important to recognize what the real is, man, what they really in this shit for. And God bless Stacey Abrams, but my God, the next time somebody hits me with some black girl magic Yas Queen shit about this woman who was just like, bro, all she does is self-promote and enrich herself. Like, give me a break, bro. Yeah. Anyway, we can move on from that. I just wanted to hit on that because just the audacity of that statement where she's just like, yeah, you know, I'm off of that. I might even run again. But, you know, I'm just proud of stuff that I did, like help get Warnock elected. I'm like, yo, stop it. All right, quickly. We wrongly predicted that Brazil would win the World Cup this year.
Yeah, shows how much I know.
Shows how much we both know. Give us first of all, the Moroccan story was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Loved that story. And they gave France everything they could handle, honestly. I thought that was a pretty well-fought match on their part. But yeah, man, talk about the magnitude of Lionel Messi and Argentina in the World Cup final against France. And what this, you know, what this means for Messi, what this would mean for the Argentines. Just like,
yeah.
Give us a little just like context for this, Nando.
Well, I mean, I think if Messi wins, it's super important for him because if Messi wins, he probably ends the GOAT argument. You know,
it's like, over.
He's the GOAT.
Yes.
It's pretty over. You know,
it's pretty over realistically by like any objective measures. It's over. Yeah. But like people like me, I don't want to give it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he would convince the Stugatzes of the world that he was the GOAT.
Exactly.
And so there's that. But and then there's on the other side is France, who won it last year. And so no one has repeated in a long, long time. Like, it's not easy to repeat. I think Brazil in the 50s is like the last team to repeat. That just doesn't happen all that often. And it's pretty impressive to just get to back-to-back finals. I mean, that happens a little bit more. But, you know, it's still super rare. And winning would be just incredible achievement too. The thing with France is like you look at their squad and they have so much fucking talent and you watch them play and you feel like they're just not even playing to their full potential. Mm-hmm. Like that they're just kind of like
fucking around.
And then they pick their spots and they score a couple goals and then they beat you and you're like, shit, they didn't look that good. Like at one point the Moroccans were like just coming in waves, you know?
Yeah, dominating possession.
Holding on. Yeah. So, whereas Argentina has a very limited squad, but they have Messi, and Messi just kind of is the deciding factor and has been the deciding factor in so many games in this World Cup. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a fun one. If I had to pick one, I'm picking Argentina.
Wow. I think the Blues are going to do it. They're going to repeat. I have to root for this because one, they have the most black players of any non-African nation, and two, I just want to see Messi lose his final match for country heartbreaking fashion on the biggest stage possible. That's what I would like to see. That's our show for today. We'll see you guys next week. Please become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. We're out of here. Peace, y'all.